The following study is a Wednesday night lesson given by guest speaker Tad Slaughter at Athey Creek Christian Fellowship.
Well, I'm filling in for Brett tonight. I'm Tad. And wow. I don't really have burgers coming out my nostrils. Some of you guys last weekend may have heard something to that effect. That was only one time, but anyway. No, Brett got a crown today, and instead of coming up here and drooling all over us, he decided he better not come. Yeah, it takes a lot of Novocaine, so anyway. Well, if you want to, you can grab your Bibles. We will be turning there in just a moment to Numbers chapter 27. Little story I want to look at tonight. Have you ever noticed how many things you face in life that are not clearly written out in the Word what to do? Now, we know the general things. We know a lot of things. You know, the Lord has told us many, many things in the Word to do or not to do. And so those things are pretty easy. We know we shouldn't steal. We know we shouldn't lie or gossip. We know that we should, on the positive side, we should love one another. We should love God. We should spend time with Him. There's a lot of things that we know clearly what to do or what not to do. But then there are things that are principles that He's given us in the Word where we know, okay, well, if I am to love, then that precludes a lot of things that I know I shouldn't do. In other words, the things that aren't loving automatically become things that I shouldn't do. Even if it's not clearly listed out in the Word, we know that because of the principle in the Word, what we're doing or what we shouldn't do. And there's all sorts of those. And, you know, really, a lot of time we run into those things, and that's great. But then there are other times when we're faced with making a decision and we don't know what to do because it's not clear. It's not something, for example, there's not a verse that says, go to college, or don't go to college, or take this job, or marry that person. There's not that clarity. So what do we do? Why is it that the Lord would have us face so many situations, and maybe you could say he's not making it really clear? Now, we know that, again, most things in life are relatively clear. And we will know from just following what we know about the Lord, what we should do or not do. That's true. But then there are other things, and sometimes they're the biggest decisions of your life that become really unclear, or you find yourself in a situation where you realize you can't trust yourself. You know, getting married, that's one where it's hard to trust yourself. Why? Because you're in love. Or if you're not, you shouldn't be thinking about getting married. But but because you're in love, you realize, man, I'm not very objective in making this decision. So it's super important that you find out from the Lord what He wants you to do. And how do you do that? And what's involved with that? Now, we could spend weeks probably talking about this and talking about how to hear the Lord's voice and all sorts of things along these lines. But tonight, I just want to look at a story that to me is pretty interesting just because it's kind of weird. It's kind of a funny story. It's about ground. Well, that's the way, it's about property. And really, oftentimes we think of, you know, when we're talking about our relationship with the Lord, we're usually talking about the important things being people. But this is a story where what's important is not people in the sense that it's not people dealing with people so much as it's people dealing with dirt. It's just ground. It's just property. And they don't have it yet. It's, in a sense, it's almost theoretical at this moment. But in Numbers 27, Look at verse 1. It says, the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They approached the entrance to the tent of meeting and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly, and said, "Our father died in the desert. He was not among Korah's followers, who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan because he had no son? Give us property among our father's relatives." So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, "What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives and turn their father's inheritance over to them." And then he goes on to say, well, let me just read it too. It says, the next verse, it says, "Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, turn his inheritance over to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan that he may possess it. This is to be a legal requirement for the Israelites as the Lord commanded Moses." So we have this interesting situation, or at least to me it's interesting, because you've got a situation where these daughters, the Israelites, by the way, at this point, they're coming up to the promised land. They're almost at the end of their time in the wilderness. You know, they've been wandering around for about 39 years or so, I think, at this point. And so they're kind of starting to think about when they go into the promised land, what's it going to be like? Where are they going to live? Where's their family going to live? And I don't know what the deal is with these daughters, but it's very possible that they're all old. We don't really know for sure, but it is possible that their dad died right at the beginning of the wilderness wanderings. We don't really know that. Some tradition says that he died early on in the wilderness wanderings. But either way, he's dead now. They're adults, and they are the only descendants of Zelophehad. And so you say, okay, so they're in this situation. Now they realize everybody's going to get land, but we're not. Why don't we get land? What are we supposed to do? Do you ever feel like that? Do you ever wonder about spiritual things, things that the Lord promises in His Word, and you think, that's for everybody else. Why am I the one who's on the outside? Why am I the one who doesn't get to partake in this blessing or this experience with the Lord? Now, I'm talking about, again, generalities. But here's a big one for a lot of us. Do you ever feel like maybe you are one of the few people who's not really filled with the Spirit? Do you ever feel like maybe you're one of the few people who doesn't really ever see the Lord work through? Do you ever feel that way? I'll tell you something, just a little secret. I think most people feel that way. If you don't, that's great. But I think a lot of us wonder that a lot, saying, man, it sure seems like everybody else has a lot of joy, or it sure seems like everybody else has the Lord using them. And boy, when my friend speaks, people just come to the Lord. Or when another friend speaks, people say, oh, that's wonderful. But when I say something, everybody kind of walks away and they don't pay attention. Or, you know, sometimes we just can feel like maybe we're odd, or we're just not getting the same inheritance as everybody else. And maybe that's a little bit of what's going on here with Zelophehad's daughters. They're looking toward the future, and they're saying, man, our dad is going to be forgotten, and it's all because he didn't have a son. It's all because all he has is us girls, and we're going to get married, and he's going to be forgotten. and our family will have ceased, and it won't be right. So who knows how it all came about? They finally came to a decision where they realized, we've got to talk to Moses about this. This doesn't seem fair. This doesn't seem right. And maybe you've faced a situation where you say, man, this isn't fair. This isn't right. Why are we being left out of the good things of the Lord in one way or another? Here's the interesting thing. These girls, they come to Moses, and I love it because what they're doing, maybe you could say culturally, might seem a little bit forward, a little presumptuous, maybe a little bit self-important or taking matters into their own hands. I mean, because think about it this way. Moses already had God's word concerning the land. The Lord's already told him where people are going to go, what's going to happen, that the families are going to have their inheritances. It's already been talked about. You could say that at least. It's already been talked about. What are you doing bringing this up? Who are you to question God's word? They could have felt that way. But interestingly, they didn't. And they came and they talked to Moses. And when they did, there's a couple of things that I just want you to notice about this, because I think they're maybe some good things for us to think about, maybe things to make us a little bolder with the Lord, maybe things to give us a little more confidence. And one of the first things that you can notice with them is when they come to Moses, he doesn't correct them. None of the leaders correct them. And the Lord doesn't correct them. So we know right off the bat that not only was this okay, it must have been totally okay, because the Lord doesn't even say anything. He doesn't say, why are you guys pestering me? You know, Moses could have said that. I've got important things to decide. But he didn't, because this is an important thing. And it does matter. And then the thing that's great is that the Lord actually commends them. He doesn't correct them. He commends them. And how does he commend them? When he says to Moses, hey, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. So it's okay when you're facing a situation and you don't know what the answer is, and you feel like, man, I know the Lord's spoken about these things maybe generally, or there are principles that I can go by, but right now I'm facing a situation where I just can't see it, or maybe it's not there. What do I do? And then you can say, okay, for example, go to college. Man, I've got an opportunity to go to college, or I can stay and work with Young Life. What do I do? Now, on the one hand, you could say, well, obviously you work with Young Life because that's a Christian thing. That's ministry. That's an automatic yes, making college. You're free to get out of college. I bring that up because that happened to me when I was after my freshman year of college, and I thought, oh, this is awesome. The Lord has delivered me from college, and I'm going to work with Campus Life. But that didn't happen. I was expecting to hear from the Lord, yes, I have called you out from among the peoples, follow me or something. You know what I'm talking about, how you get these things in your mind and you think, oh, this is awesome. Don't have to go back and sit in boring class. But that wasn't what happened. Instead of getting the confirmation from the Lord agreeing with what I was kind of hoping, I actually got confirmation from the Lord to do the other. And that was the first thing that the Lord showed me is just wait. Don't move. Don't do anything. Don't make a decision one way or another. Hold on. Wait. All the information isn't in yet. I actually had a pastor say those very words to me. He said, all the information isn't in yet. You need to wait. I was like, and then I'll tell you what happened. I was super excited because then another opportunity came up and I thought, this is the more information. And the more information, I was going to get a chance to work at Applegate. Oh man, I'll be a youth pastor at Applegate instead of working at Young Life. Oh, this is definitely the Lord, because now here's the more information. But that wasn't the more information. That was part of the information, but there was more. And eventually what ended up happening is I realized, no, I think the Lord's saying, keep going to school, because I wasn't hearing anything new, and that was the last thing I had heard. So went back to school, and after a few days, more information came in that was even more important than all the others, and that was that Marna Ingberg liked me. That was important information, because my previous information about that was that she did not like me. She had made that quite clear. You kind of get that when you ask somebody out and they say, oh, I'd love to, but, and then it's always that, there's always that big however. And for a year. But anyway, I won't talk about that. I've gotten over it. But the truth was, that was what the Lord had for me, to be back in school. And then, what happened? Got married, finished school. We had one plan. The Lord changed that plan, and we ended up going down to Applegate, and I got a job there, and I was working on the building, and then after that, with the kids and stuff like that, and then the Lord's just done one thing after since then. But my point is, there's a lot of decisions that we face in life that aren't super clear-cut. They're not, you can't just grab a verse and, well, you can, but you have to be careful, because sometimes you can prove anything you want if you approach the Bible with, well, I'm going to find a verse that tells me to do what I want to do. You can do that, but that's dangerous, because that's you putting your words in the Lord's mouth. But Zelophehad's daughters, they didn't know what to do. They came to Moses and the leaders and said, this just seems unfair, maybe. Or there seems to be a loophole or inconsistency. There's something that's not quite right here. Our dad died. He wasn't part of the rebellion. He wasn't against you, Moses. He wasn't cut out of blessing for anything other than his own sin. He died for his own sin. And is it right that he should have no inheritance? That we should have no inheritance? And so Moses, I think, didn't really even know what to say. He went to the Lord, and then the Lord said, they're right. They've brought up a good point. Now, here's what I want to think about just for a second. Do you think the Lord forgot about Zelophehad's daughters when he was previously telling Moses and the guys what was going to happen? Had he not thought about them? When they brought this up, did the Lord go, oh, no. What are we going to do? What if I forgot all about them? No, he hadn't forgotten about them. It was just not time to talk about that yet. And the same thing will be true for us. When we face decisions, we won't necessarily know in advance. You can't make, I mean, if it worked the way we'd like it to be, we could make all of our decisions at the early part of our life and then just look them up, you know, as we go through. Take the first job you're offered, okay, did, done that. Marry the third person you like, you know, I don't know. I mean, we could make lists and then we could just make those decisions, but it doesn't work that way. You don't know until you're faced with the decision you're faced with or the circumstance that you had hoped you'd never find yourself in. That's when you have to say, Lord, what do we do? You didn't tell me whether or not I should go on chemotherapy. Yes or no? Is that in the Bible? Not directly, right? But maybe there are principles we can follow. Maybe there's things that the Lord will speak to you. But when you face a decision where you just say, I don't know, I'm not sure. This one I hear a lot. I want to be a missionary. Now, I'll be honest with you. A lot of people want to be missionaries because they just don't want to be here. A lot of people want to be missionaries because they want to get away from their job. A lot of people want to be missionaries because they like to travel. There's all sorts of things. You know, a lot of people want to be in ministry because they think ministry will be, oh, it'd be so nice just to work with Christians. I'm glad you laughed. I didn't have to say it. Yeah, we all know what we're like, right? There's no difference in you know what I mean by that. So what do? We say, Lord, I really do feel like I want to be out of here. I really do feel like I want to be a missionary. Or I really do feel like I want that job. Or whatever it is. And then we say, Lord, I'm looking in your word. Will you speak to me? And if there's nothing clear, and there's nothing, you know, where you're not just finding a verse and holding on to it because that fits what you want. You know what I'm talking about when you read the word and you get something where the Spirit is speaking to your heart and you know, wait, that verse is for me. And then he confirms it with either another verse or a person will come up and say something to you, or a pastor, Brett will be teaching and he'll say something. And you go, okay, I believe the Lord's confirming that. And you take those steps. But if you don't get any of that, what do you do? I think one of the things that we can do is be like Zelophehad's daughters. And that is, we can just bring it to the Lord. Now, you know, another thing about these girls that's pretty neat. The Lord doesn't correct them for bringing it up in the first place, but he also doesn't make fun of them or he's not upset with them for not knowing what to do. You know why? You know why? I can tell you why. At least one reason why the Lord's not upset with these girls, because they don't know what to do. And he's not upset with Moses for not knowing what to do. You know why? He hadn't told them yet. Right? The Lord hadn't said what to do. So therefore, how can they know? They can't know. Maybe, you know, they did know certain things about the Lord. And I'm sure that Moses was racking his brain saying, okay, let's see, what has the Lord said to me about inheritance before? What has the Lord said to me about daughters? Has he said anything about, you know, men with no sons? What? And I'm sure he was just racking his brain. That's just my guess. And we can do that too. But then when there's no answer, if it's not clear, that's okay. Because I believe that there are many things that the Lord has for us to face in our life that he just hasn't told us about yet. And why would that be? For our own good. And for any number of reasons that he may have. But you know, one of the big reasons, I believe, is because the Lord wants us to talk to him and to spend time with him and to ask him questions and to say, what should I do? I think all of us parents know that when we're raising our kids, we don't tell them everything. We don't tell them, boy, you're going to really be a dork in junior high. We don't tell our sons, oh man, your feet are going to stink. They're going to be this long and your body's going to be this tall, you know. Those are generally true things about junior high kids. But but you know, here's the thing. The Lord doesn't tell us in advance. Why? Because he's going to tell us when we need to know. Just like we're going to tell our kids things when they need to know, when they're ready to hear it. When they have somebody reject them, then we'll talk to them about what you do when you're being rejected. How do you deal with that? Or how do you deal with somebody who's being unfair? When your teacher is against just you, how do you deal with that? But you don't tell them when they're in kindergarten, you know, when you get older, you're going to have teachers who hate you. And they're going to think you're terrible. And you're going to be sweet and innocent and perfect, but they're going to hate you. No, you don't say that. Now, you may think that later, that your child is sweet and innocent, and that the teacher's bad. By the way, that's usually not the case. But anyway, I have to allow that it might be the case sometimes because it happened to me, of course. But here's the deal. The Lord didn't tell them because it wasn't time. They weren't ready. The people weren't ready. And so the Lord hadn't explained to them. So therefore, of course, he's not going to make fun of them. Now think of this. In James chapter 1, the Lord says, if any of you lack wisdom, what do? He says, ask. And guess what? What does it go on to say? He's not going to make fun of you. He's not going to reprove you. He's not going to laugh because you don't know. Because, of course, you don't know. That's why it's called lacking wisdom. because we lack, right? And that's okay, because the Lord is not lacking in anything, and he has all wisdom. So another thing I want you to think about is, and this is just a small thing, really, but, you know, sometimes we expect the Lord to be really comprehensive and really exhaustive in what he tells us, right? We kind of want to know everything about something when we're dealing with it. But that's not how he works, and I'm glad. Because, you know, have you ever been around somebody who is really, really thorough in what they talk about? And I mean, they just, when they talk, they tell you every little detail. Most of the men know what I'm talking about here. No, I'm not actually talking about our wives. I am saying that really, we sometimes think, I want to know everything. But you know what happens? If somebody tells you everything, do you listen? I don't. Once somebody starts telling me everything, there's a place in my brain that just goes, click. And I don't even know where I go. I know I'm there, but I'm not there at the same time. And, you know, it's one of those things. But the Lord didn't tell them everything, and I'm glad. Because, you know, I can remember going to a particular camp one time where we were, you know, had a bunch of kids and stuff, and the people who ran the camp had to tell us the rules. And we sat there and listened to the rules for an hour and a half. Now imagine this with kids, and you're sitting there listening to rules over and over, one rule on top of another. You don't, after a point, you just think, what are we talking about? What, I mean, why not just say, don't do anything bad? Makes me think of Barney Fife when he was lecturing some guys at the Mayberry Jail. I don't know if you guys think about Andy Griffith's show, but there's one scene that's great. You can, I think it's probably on YouTube if you wanted to look it up. But, you know, it's Barney, and he's talking to these guys, and you know, the Mayberry Jail, you just kind of come and go whenever you want, and the key's just hanging right there, and it's all, you know, they have beautiful pictures framed in a nice bed, and you know how it is. And then, you know, Barney starts off, and he says, men, here at the Rock, we have two rules. And he says, number one, obey all rules. And I love that, because I think that's where he should have stopped. The next one was, no writing on the walls, because it's really hard to clean off writing on the walls, or something like that. But, but you know, I'm glad that the Lord keeps things simple for us. But then when we need more information, he'll give it to us. But what I'm getting at here is, don't feel like you can't ask, or you shouldn't ask. And the reason I say this is because so often we do feel afraid to ask. What do I mean? Here these girls are, they're talking about what? Ground, property, inheritance, right? Money, so to speak. You would be surprised, or maybe you wouldn't be surprised, because of talking to friends, how many people that I'll talk to who will tell me, I probably shouldn't even be asking you about this. This doesn't really matter very much. I've got a business problem, or I've got a dispute with my family over an inheritance, and we feel like, oh, these things are dirty. We can't talk about money. That's unholy. Money's just money, right? But here's the thing. In this situation, the Lord says to these girls, your inheritance is important. And it's important because it's important to them and their future. And the same thing's true for you. When you're faced with situations that you say, oh, but this is a worldly concern. God won't care about that. This has to do with mammon, filthy lucre. We put the negative Bible terms in there, and we feel guilty for even wanting to pray about it. Oh, the Lord doesn't want to. I probably should just give it all up. But you know, sometimes that would be the exact wrong thing to do. The point is, the Lord says, talk to me about anything. Bring your cares to me. What does he tell us? Cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Well, all of these things, it's important to remember that the Lord's not surprised. The Lord's not upset that they're bringing it up. He's not thinking that they're dumb. None of those things. And remember this, if the Lord had wanted, he could have prevented all of this. What do I mean? He could have given Zelophehad a son, and then this wouldn't have happened, right? Or he could have told them beforehand what they should do for all the girls. But what I love is the Lord allows this situation to come up, and you could say the Lord allowed this troubling situation, because it's obviously this isn't just a little thing. Okay, we read it, it's a little thing because it's back in the past, and these are people we don't know about, we don't care about them. They're part of 3 million people who are traveling through the wilderness. But guess what? It's important. And you know how we know? They're in the Word. And here's the fun part. Because these girls asked a question, the Lord even gives Moses more information about what to do with this in general. And this would be a situation that will come up later with Ruth, right? So these things are important, and the Lord does care. And so if you're facing a situation for you where you say, man, I don't get it, I don't know what I should do, be like Zelophehad's daughters and say, okay, well, I've been thinking about it, praying about it, I still am unclear, I've been seeking the Word, I don't know. Sunday night, we have elders back here. You can pray with virtually every service that we have. There's elders over here in the prayer room before and after the service. There's pastors, elders around all the services at any time, right? Just ask somebody. Say, would you pray with me about this? Don't expect them to have the answer, by the way. They probably won't. They'll probably panic. You won't see it on their face, but inside they'll be going, oh no, I don't know what to tell them. Because that's what happens. Why? Because these are the things that are hard. And then what you do is you pray, and you just see what the Lord does. And that's what happens here. Now, what's kind of funny or kind of interesting about this is, now just grab your Bible and turn a few pages to Numbers chapter 36. Verse 1, it says, the family heads of the clan of Gilead, son of Machir, son of Manasseh, who were from the clans of the descendants of Joseph, came and spoke before Moses and the leaders and the heads of the Israelite families. They said, when the Lord commanded my Lord to give the land as an inheritance to the Israelites by lot, he ordered you to give the inheritance of our brother Zelophehad to his daughters. Now, suppose they marry men from other Israelite tribes. Then their inheritance will be taken from our ancestral inheritance and added to that of the tribe that they marry into. And so part of the inheritance allotted to us will be taken away. When the year of Jubilee for the Israelites come, their inheritance will be added to that of the tribe into which they marry, and their property will be taken from the tribal inheritance of our forefathers. Now, do you see what's happening here? Now we've got another problem. Lord, wait, you just told us to do this, and now it's brought up another problem. You could almost feel that way. Do you ever feel like, man, I thought I was following the Lord. I thought I had heard from God what to do. I did it, we're moving forward, but now we've got another problem. I didn't know that that would bring about this, and that's what Moses could have been feeling that at this moment. Oh, great. Now I've got a group of men angry with me because they're going to lose their property. Because why? Because these daughters are going to marry outside the family and the property is going to go with them. Now you could feel like saying, guys, you've got your inheritance. Back off, right? Relax. So what? You weren't going to get their property anyway, were you? Well, they were thinking down the road. Look what happens. goes on to say, "Then at the Lord's command, Moses gave this order to the Israelites. What the tribe of the descendants of Joseph is saying is right. This is what the Lord commands for Zelophehad's daughters. They may marry anyone they please as long as they marry within the tribal clan of their father. No inheritance in Israel is to pass from tribe to tribe, for every Israelite shall keep the tribal land inherited from his forefathers. Every daughter who inherits land in any Israelite tribe must marry someone in her father's tribal clan, so that every Israelite will possess the inheritance of his fathers. No inheritance may pass from tribe to tribe, for each Israelite tribe is to keep the land it inherits." So Zelophehad's daughters did as the Lord commanded Moses. Zelophehad's daughters, Mahla, Tirzah, Hogla, Milcah, and Noah, married their cousins on their father's side. They married within the clans of the descendants of Manasseh, son of Joseph, and their inheritance remained in their father's clan and tribe. These are the commands and the regulations the Lord gave through Moses to the Israelites on the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. So, man, kind of a weird deal. Why in the world is there so much about this? Here's what I believe. The inheritance is important. Why? Because it's a picture for us of what? Our inheritance that we have with the Lord. We have two parts of our inheritance, I think you could say. One is what's pictured here, and that is when we receive the full life that the Lord has for us, right? When, as believers, we're walking with Jesus, we're experiencing the Spirit working in our life, leading us, guiding us, directing us, and we're living our lives with Him. The fullness that we have in Him. But then there's this other inheritance that we have that's mentioned several times in Ephesians and 1 Peter and Colossians. It talks about that we have an inheritance in heaven. And that really matters. You know, I think sometimes we forget that we're laying up things in heaven now. That what we are to be thinking about is not living for this world and amassing rewards and things and investments and all that stuff here. That's not the important thing. The important thing is to be laying up treasures in heaven, to be walking with the Lord, to love Him, to have a relationship with Him and to be used by Him and to just obey Him and whatever that may be for you. And so that's one of the things that I think we see here, is that the inheritance is really important. These men, they weren't wrong. I love it. Both these stories, the Lord says, the daughters of Zelophehad are right. Then He says, the brothers of Zelophehad are right. They're both right. Everybody's right in the story. This doesn't happen very often, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. But here we have everybody's right. And yet, the funniest thing is that when they came to the Lord, they didn't know they were right. They may have felt like they were right. They may have been hoping they were right. But the truth is, the Lord says, you're right. So what I'm getting at here for us to think about is that maybe times when you're feeling like, wow, I really am not clear. I really don't know. Take some hope. Maybe you're right. In other words, the leaning that you're having, the thing that you're hoping, the thing that you're thinking, maybe the Lord's going to tell you, you're right. And that's awesome. But you know what else? If the Lord says, you're wrong, oh man, that's a great thing to hear. You know why? Because it keeps you from doing something that you will regret. It keeps you from going down a path, even though right now it looks like it's the best thing in the world. But if you did it, you'd regret it. And the Lord will say, no, I am so thankful for the times that the Lord has told me no. Now, I'll be honest, every time I've gotten a no from the Lord, I haven't been happy about it. That's not what you don't like to have people tell you no. You don't want the Lord to say, no, that's not for you. But I want it. No? Okay. But then later on, what do you realize? Oh, I am so glad so glad that the Lord loves me enough to tell me no and to direct me. And then when I'm right, for him to say, you're right. Because that's like the biggest joy. You know what I mean? That's the best. And so here, just remember this, that you're going to be faced with all sorts of decisions in life. Many of them are going to be clear. Many of them are going to be just, you could open to the Ten Commandments and there's a whole bunch of them right there you already know. Those are easy. Then there are other things that are also pretty easy, we could say as Christians. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's all sorts of things that we know absolutely yes or absolutely no, or look out for this or be careful about that. We know those. But the ones that are less clear, the important thing is to go to the Lord about it. And when you do that, also go and seek out people who spend time with the Lord in the Word, what I would say is older people. And if you're an old person, then it's just your friends. But if, you know, if you're younger, go with somebody who's older, somebody who's got more years, more time with the Lord, not just an older person, but somebody who really knows the Lord. Because you'll get a lot of wisdom, and the Lord will use them. And just look for the Lord to guide you a little bit, and be patient. You know, we don't know. When we read the story, it almost sounds like it was they brought their case, and then 2 seconds later, Moses gives the answer. But when you really carefully look at these passages, you realize this is an event that's been squished down just so we can read it and understand it. But you know that there was time that Moses went and spent with the Lord. So realize that when you're faced with these things where you don't know what to do, don't make the normal American mistake of just making a decision. Because, man, I've waited 2 days. I'm just going to take that job. Well, you're just going to be miserable. Why? Because you're going to hate it. Because there's a probably 80% chance that you're making the wrong decision. Why do I say 80? Because it probably is more like 100. Because whenever we rush, we inevitably rush into something that the Lord wouldn't have had us go into. Now, sometimes if we just wait that one day, then he tells us yes, then we go, and then it's right. And maybe you say, well, I could have cut the corner and nobody would have known. They'll know. I used to cut corners all the time in cross-country practice. I know you can't tell, but 54 years old. I don't know. It's amazing. In my mind, well, never mind. I won't tell you what I was thinking in my mind. It's a whole long story, that's why. But it's true. You know, it's so tempting to just shortcut. Say, well, I think the Lord's going to say yes, so I'm just going to do it. Don't do that. Man, we have all done that, by the way. I mean, I'm not sitting here acting like, oh, don't do this because I have learned. No, I have learned the hard way. I've learned the wrong way. I think we all have. We got to just remember, okay, Lord, help me to be patient and wait for you. Help me to allow you to have the time to say what you want to say. You see, like I started off talking about getting more information and then how the whole thing worked out, that part of that was that the Lord was bringing Marna into my life, or me into her life. I could have done that so much easier a year before. But you know what would have happened? Marna would have broken up with me because I was a dork. I wasn't a year later. So it was a miracle. It was amazing. I like that. You know, you may be saying, well, okay, great, Ted. This is all Old Testament. We all now have so much more of the Bible than they had back then. We have the New Testament. We know things about the Lord. Jesus came and spent 3 years and showed us so many things. But you want to know what's great? We won't go into it right now, really. But jot it down. Acts 15:28 is the verse in specific that I want you to think about. But here's what happened. You may remember that there was a council that they had in Jerusalem because there was a big, big dispute in the church. I'll say in the church. It was kind of in the church. It was among the church. Let's put it that way. I think there were a lot of wolves in there too. But you got a situation where there were people saying that all these Gentiles needed to be circumcised and to follow the law. But then you had people like Peter and Paul who had seen the Lord do amazing things through the Gentiles and in the Gentiles who hadn't been following the law. They were not circumcised. And so there was this big debate and a big conversation that goes on in that chapter. But then what I love is eventually it all settles out and they come to this decision. Okay, here's the deal. If you're a Gentile, just stay the way you are. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to follow the law as in the Old Testament law. But what you need to do is, don't eat food that's been sacrificed to idols and don't drink blood and that, a few things. Don't do those things. But the thing I love in this chapter, in that verse, is that the elders there say, as they're writing this letter, they say this, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us." It seemed good to the Holy Spirit. How do you know that? See, they didn't have a verse that they used. They said, "It seemed good to the Holy Spirit." And the way they knew that was by seeking the Lord together and seeing the Lord bring about clarity and peace in that group. And they realized, this is the Lord. And they sensed it was the Holy Spirit saying, this is good. And they went with it. And I love that. I think sometimes we're afraid to do that, to just say, okay, Lord, this is unclear. But when we get the peace to say, you know what? That's the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He wants to. We need that. You realize all these big decisions that we face that aren't clear, that we don't really know, we must have the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and to show us the way, right? Yes. So, amen. Thank you. That's it. You know, it really is important. But sometimes I think we shy away from that because it sounds maybe a little bit too flamboyant. When I say that, what I mean is that we see a lot of people who talk big and say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And you don't really get that sense from them by what their life is like or whatever. And I know for myself, a lot of times I'm hesitant to say it's the Lord because I just know myself. And I think, oh, man. But you know what? I love it because these guys, they said, it seemed good to the Spirit and to us. And that's what I want in my life. I want to know, yeah, Lord, I think this seems good to you. You're saying yes. You're opening the door. So again, thinking about missions, thinking about taking a job, thinking about moving, make sure that you've got that confidence that comes from seeking the Lord, getting confirmation from other believers, and particularly believers that you can trust. And then when you know it's the Lord, you really will have the sense that I really think it's the Spirit. And then you can move. You'll never regret it. So all of this is to say, I think sometimes we just get in a position where we think, my thing doesn't matter that much. Maybe the Lord doesn't care about this. But that's not the case. And maybe if we would take the time to really get the word of the Lord, we'd find out, you know what? This was something that maybe wasn't that important, but the Lord used that to speak this thing into my life that has been gigantic ever since. I know that's the way the Lord has been in my life and for Marna and myself. I mean, some of the biggest lessons we've ever learned weren't necessarily over the biggest things that we ever had to decide. They were over littler things, but then we saw we had a whole new understanding of the Lord. And we've been able to move on because of that. I just want you to think about that. I'm just so thankful that the Lord really cares about us. Well, let's stand. Well, Father, we are so thankful for your word. Lord, we're thankful that you put people like Zelophehad and his daughters and his brothers in your word. That you've given us stories like this that are, on the one hand, they almost seem unimportant to us from this perspective, from so many years later and about land that people don't even have anymore. But Lord, we know that those things were important because you told them they were right to be concerned about it. They were right in what they were thinking. And so Lord, we pray that you would help us to cast all our cares on you and to talk to you about everything and to look to your people for confirmation and even wisdom, that you would use them. So Lord, we ask that you would use us, the people in this room. Lord, use us among ourselves, so to speak. Lord, use us to encourage each other, to point each other to you. Lord, help us to have ears to hear your voice. Lord, help us to really just pause and listen and to seek you in your word. Lord, we ask that as we read your word, that we would read it honestly, that we wouldn't try to pour what we want to hear into it, but instead, Lord, receive from you what you are actually saying. So, Lord, all these things we commit to you. Lord, I pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters who are here tonight, who came just to spend time with you. Lord, we ask that you would just work these things into our lives. All the things that are true, may they sink in. Lord, all the things that are not true or don't apply, then Lord, may those things just be forgotten. So we just give you ourselves, and we ask that you'd bless us because you're good. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
To take advantage of our media ministry, we encourage you to visit us online anytime at atheecreek.com. There you'll find our guest speaker messages and all of Pastor Brett's Bible studies available as a free download.